We pick up where we left off in John chapter 10. We'll be reading the first 10 verses this morning and dealing with that text. So give your attention now, as this is a reading of God's holy word. John chapter 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." So far in the living word of the living God. Once again, let's go before the throne of grace. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this word, for your worship, for your church. We pray now that you will give us spiritual attention, even though we may be distracted by the weather, by the week past, or the week that lies ahead. Father, we pray that you would help us now to hear your word from your servant and to apply that word to our hearts. We ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, as we come to this text this morning, I'm reminded that Jesus used a lot of illustrations. In fact, that word is used in verse 6. They didn't understand this illustration. Think about Matthew chapter 5 through 7. All of the different illustrations that Jesus uses. The salt of the earth. The light of the world. The treasures of heaven. The lamp of the body. He uses birds, lilies, and grass, specks in your eye and planks, casting your pearls before swine, a narrow gate versus a wide gate, wolves in sheep's clothing, trees, fruit, the roots of those trees, building a foundation on solid ground or sinking sand, mustard seed, a pearl, camel, the eye of a needle, all of that is in those three chapters. But perhaps no picture that Jesus used, illustration that he made, is more often mentioned in the Bible, for example, from Old Testament to New, than this illustration of shepherd and sheep. Starts way back in Numbers chapter 27. Certainly Psalm 23 is called the Shepherd's Psalm. Psalm 80, Psalm 119, Isaiah 53, Ezekiel 54, and 12 times in the New Testament, this illustration of shepherd and sheep comes up. Now, whenever a preacher uses an illustration, it can be stretched, it can fall short, it can miss the point altogether. Sometimes the illustrations that preachers try to use to make a point can be completely ludicrous. They miss everything. And that's because preachers are not God. Preachers are not flawless. And even their thinking can sometimes miss that point. But when Jesus makes an illustration, And Scripture repeats that illustration on several different occasions. Brothers and sisters, we ought to pay attention. God is trying to tell us something very clearly. And Christ's pictures are always spot on. They don't miss the mark. They certainly need to be interpreted and understood right, but they are always worth our thinking about when he makes that illustration. I hope I don't need to tell you that John 10 is connected to John 9. This is a gospel letter that was written, and it is not cut up by them in their time. It was cut up much later so that it was easy to remember, to reference, and all of those kind of things. But let's not forget, the very men who said, "We see, we can see these things," Jesus is now calling thieves and robbers. I want you to be careful that you don't think through chapter 10 as only being about the authority of the office of pastor, or how one becomes a pastor or an under-shepherd of sheep. Because the chapter is really about the true shepherd, Jesus Christ, not about his under-shepherds, his pastors. In fact, it paints a picture that will reveal the true shepherd and expose the false. The shepherd versus the sheep stealers, if you will. And it is events in chapter 9 that have brought on this illustration. There is no pause in Jesus' thinking between chapter 9, 41 and chapter 10, verse 1. He said to these people, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains. Because you boast of understanding, you're at fault." And so he makes this picture. Human sheep, a man born blind, was healed by Jesus Christ. What happened? They attacked him. They attacked him. And in fact, who was it that was attacking him? Phony shepherds. Ones who claimed to be in charge, the Pharisees. And what did they do to the man who had been born blind? They threw him out of the church. They excommunicated him. And so the question arises, well, who is the real shepherd? How can I tell them apart? And Jesus uses this picture to do that. So we're going to consider the way of the shepherd and the voice of the shepherd, and the claim of the shepherd, and come to the conclusion that the door is the shepherd. In verses 1 through 3, we find the way of the shepherd. He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door is a thief and a robber. Now, the sheepfold, the community of shepherds, would bring their sheep at night to basically the community pen. It was a big open pen. You can actually go online, Google sheepfold and this area of the world, and see modern pictures that are still quite typically 3 or 4 feet high stone wall enclosures with one door on one side of it. And what these community of shepherds would do is pool all of their money, and they would hire a gatekeeper for the night. They would bring all their sheep together, bring them into this pen, and the gatekeeper would basically stand guard all night over these many little flocks. In the morning, the gatekeeper would open the door for the shepherd who would basically stand at the door and call his sheep. And his sheep would come out of the pen and walk off with the shepherd. The picture that Jesus is painting is that the thieves and the robbers who would want some of those sheep would not use the door. They would go, and in the dead of night, they would climb over the wall or break a hole in the wall and steal sheep. And the picture is very clear. The thief is the one who deceives and schemes and sneaks unaware. He causes fraud. Some of you might say, what's the difference between a thief and a robber? A thief, your butcher can be a thief without being a robber. In other words, somebody can cheat you through deception without doing any violence. The picture, the difference between the Greek words, if you will, is that a robber is somebody who's violent, brazen, open, comes and takes things by force. And Jesus says the Pharisees are doing both. The Pharisees are sneaking in with false doctrine and misunderstanding of theology and scripture and confusing people. They're also robbing. They threw this blind man out of the church virtually violently. They are calling Jesus the great shepherd of the sheep as somebody who's not from God. They do that back in chapter 9, verse 16. They say, this man is not from God. Even though he just healed this guy, even though his miracles were out there, in fact, in verse 24 of chapter 9, they say he's a sinner. Why don't you give, they say to the blind man, give God the real glory. Stop giving this man, this sinner, the glory, and give God the glory. Of course, the man says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know, but this is the guy who made me see. A true shepherd could tell you what each lamb, what each sheep in his little flock looked like. They used to give names to them. Now, why is that surprising to us? Doesn't this exactly what Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, say in Luke chapter 10? He says, their names are written in the Lamb's book of life. That analogy is still being stretched into Revelation. The great shepherd of the sheep, the Lamb of God, gathers his own sheep. And he knows them by name. The shepherd would come in by the door because these are his sheep. He would go back to that community pen and stand at the door because those sheep belong to him. He owns them. He knows them. He calls them. He leads them. Brothers and sisters, sometimes I think we forget that Jesus knows us personally. We're part of a big church. We're part of a worldwide church. And sometimes we feel very, very small. Maybe not so much in a small congregation, but even then, we sometimes feel like we're not known. No, Jesus knows us personally. Christian, you are not lost in a crowd. You are not one face in the masses. He knows you from the inside out. Let's not forget, I know it was a long time ago we talked about him, but the man born blind was a single soul that Jesus did something for. One man that he took time for. And brothers and sisters, that is how Jesus knows and calls you. Personally, individually, intimately, one sinner at a time is saved by grace. Even if they're saved at Pentecost with 3,000 or at some crusade with a bunch, they're called and saved one heart at a time. That's very personal. And when they had heard what this man was saying and whom he was giving credit to, they cast him out. And remember, when we looked at that, what did Jesus do? Jesus went looking for that blind man. Jesus personally sought out that particular man to reveal himself to. And of course, by the doctrine of the scriptures, to reveal that very thing to us. Brothers and sisters, God is very personal. He sent his son to die in the place of individual sinners. You. And so he dies on the cross on your account. This is the God who can count the very hairs of your head. The Bible says, puts your tears in the treasury of his house. Who says to Job at one point, if you remember, can you enter the treasury of snow? Can you count them individually? They are falling individually. And God knows their number. The same way he knows you. Galatians 2, verse 20. Paul writes there, and I want you to notice the frequency. Just this one verse, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Notice the frequency of the I, me idea. Galatians 2, 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's very personal. The shepherd is giving himself for you. Brothers and sisters, how many names can you know? We may be able to sit down and list quite a few of them. And yet I would venture to say, even in a group this small, there are names present this morning you don't know. Brothers and sisters, I confess to you, there are names I don't know. I don't know all the names of your children by heart yet. I bet there are names you don't know, even in this small group. And yet the Lord says, I know you. Jesus knows every one of his sheep by name. He's intimate, has intimate knowledge of each one of you. And that all comes under the guise of him being the chief shepherd. He gives his life for you. Christian, you have been the object of his love. You have been the object of his sacrifice. False teachers were blind to who he was. They were blind to the Messiah. They had not come in by the door. They could not stand at the sheepfold and call out by name and the sheep would come, because they were false messiahs. In fact, there was no door in their ministry. Think about how many false teachers today have little or no Christ in their ministry, except in name only. Do they not fit the very thing that Jesus said, the blind leading the blind? They don't know Christ, they can't see Christ. And yet some of them even use the name of Christ. But there is no Christ. Brothers and sisters, Christ's true under-shepherds always will give Christ his rightful place. He is the bread of heaven. He is the living water. He is the light of the world. He is the Lamb of God. He is the door. And all the glory and all the credit and all the thanks go to the good shepherd, Christ. It's the very first thing that we need to get, is that the way of the shepherd is one who knows the sheep. Verse 4. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Now, it's very interesting that there's a big difference between the way Western shepherds shepherd their sheep and the way Eastern shepherds shepherd their sheep. Western shepherds drive their sheep. If you didn't know that, just look up cowboys. And think, there were cowboy shepherds. And they drove their sheep with sheepdogs. Think about Scotland. How does the Western Scottish shepherd call? He drives them with sheepdogs and whistles. It's very fascinating to watch, but that's how he does it. Prodding them to go where he wants them to go with some very... You can Google this and watch some of them do it. It's absolutely amazing. They stand on a hillside and whistle, "Away to me, dog, away to me." And the dog makes the sheep go exactly where he wants them to go. It's fascinating. But that's not the way Eastern shepherds shepherd their sheep. They lead them. They literally call to them and they will follow them. And they will not follow a stranger by instinct. Once again, in preparing this sermon some weeks ago now, I actually Googled some of those things. Are there actually examples, even today, of this happening? And you can find videos of Eastern shepherds standing next to a pen where there are no sheep. And there's a hill up going away from the shepherd. And he stands there and calls out some, obviously can't understand the language, he calls out something and you stand there and wait. And 30 seconds later, 6 or 7 sheep come over the hill and go into this pen where he's standing. And he closes the door. It's really amazing. So this illustration that Jesus is giving us is real. It's not just, you know, anecdotal or make-believe. It's not just a metaphor or a simile. It actually is true. When the true Christian hears the voice of false shepherds, the true Christian says, something wrong here. Something doesn't quite fit. Why does this sound out of tune? Because when they hear the voice of truth, when they hear their own shepherd, Jesus Christ, they say, "Ah, this is right. That's the Master's voice I hear." And it makes sense. And brothers and sisters, how many of us could not, maybe not in the shepherd's way, but you know your father's voice. You know your mother's voice. You can pick it out. You can hear it. And are there not friends, certain friends? You know, if I pick up the phone and Bobby Garrity's on the other end, I know it's Bobby Garrity. He's got a very distinct voice. And is that not true of virtually all of our closest relationships? The blind man said, "I don't know a lot about him. I don't know where he's from or who he is, but I know I can see. And it's because of him." And a true Christian is just like that. He says, "My eyes are open. I don't know what it was, but truth and error have come into focus. And the difference between the doctrine of Christ and the doctrine of men has become clear." Brothers and sisters, if you cannot see any difference between a biblical church and a people-pleasing church, you're still blind. And there's an awful lot of people who love to have a church that pleases their flesh. I thank God there are so many churches in this region that are God-honoring, Bible-preaching churches. But any true Christian who's been to one of those, who walks into a people-pleasing church, is uncomfortable. And knows it from almost the beginning. Something not right at this church. No. This shepherd goes before them, verse 4 says. Now, there's a great truth in that doctrine right there. He goes before them. He is one of us. He is touched with our weakness, except for sin, Hebrews says. That is, He is on your level. He is not far away from you. He comes right down before you. And as the shepherd of the sheep says, follow me. Not the voice of imposters, but the true voice of the shepherd. And what does he say? He says, walk in my steps. Listen to my voice. How? Well, actually, it's impossible if there something doesn't change. Some people say, well, I've tried. Religion has no effect on me. I don't have any interest in those things. Isn't that exactly what the very people who were listening to him said in verse 6? They didn't understand what he was talking about. The very illustration that Jesus was using was lost on them. And brothers and sisters, that can be true of you sitting listening to a preacher. Sin has walled you off from God. And you are outside of the fold. And you are separated from God. And the sense of guilt is either not there, or a sense of guilt makes you afraid of God because you're not in the fold yet. Maybe, brothers and sisters, if that sense of guilt makes you afraid of God, if that sense of His holiness keeps you away from God, that's a very sign that God is working on you. Because those of us who have come into the fold know that we were born at odds with God. And we lived for a long time in some way or another apart from God. And brothers and sisters, if you stay in that condition, the further and further away from Him you will feel. And you might say, how can I draw near to this God? How can a sinner like me become a sheep? How can I be made right with a holy God? And brothers and sisters, the great answer is the claim of the shepherd. Verse 7. He knew they didn't understand it. They didn't get it. What does he say? Listen, I'm telling you, I am the door of the sheep. Let me be clear about something. This is one of those seven I am statements that Jesus makes in the Gospel of John. It's right up there with the one he's going to make in John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. By his living a perfect life, by his dying on the cross, by his being made sin for us, he opened the door into the sheepfold. You might be one of those sheep who's come up to the door and you can't get into the fold, and there's a gatekeeper saying, wait, wait, whose sheep are you? And Jesus is telling us the way into the holiest place is by the shedding of His blood, by the breaking of His body. The way into His sheepfold is through Christ. And if you have heard His voice calling you into that fold, you can enter with boldness and draw near to God without fear, because He will accept you. And all of His sheep know that. How has He ever invited a sheep like me into His fold? He changed my nature, gave me ears to hear and a heart to want to follow. And so the Bible tells us that He is able to save to the uttermost all who come to Him by faith, any who come to Him by faith, because He is the door. Make sure you understand that. Jesus Christ is not saying that His teachings are the door. Jesus Christ is not saying that His church is the door. It's not His example that's the door. It's not His apostles. It's not His miracles. It's Christ Himself. He is the all in all. He is the door into the very presence of God. You cannot get to God without the permission of Christ. He's going to make that so clear as John unfolds. He's already made it clear in John 3, in John 6. He's going to make it clear again in John 14. And he's making it clear right here. I am the door. And without faith in the blood of Christ, without accepting the fact that He is the door, there is no way to get to God. If you want to know how to understand God, Christ is the way. Christ is the way to understand nature. You want to understand what the creation means? Christ is the way. If you want to understand what history means, Christ is the way to understand history. If you want to understand providence, if you want to understand the Bible, if you want to understand the purpose of life, the meaning of salvation, Christ is the answer. Not philosophy, religion, or any other thing. Get to know Jesus, and you get to know it all. You get to understand it all. In fact, he makes the claim so clearly that if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. That is, his life will be just fine. So much so he says, look, you want to know what abundant truth is? Abundant life is? It's me. You went through all kinds of doors to get here without much notice. You walked through the bathroom door, maybe first in the morning. You went through the kitchen door. You came out your house door. You got through your car door. You came through the church door. You went through all kinds of doors without really taking much notice of them. Are they necessary? Well, in this part of the country, think about it. What if there were no doors? Brothers and sisters, what if there was no way to God? Because the door does a couple of things, doesn't it? It lets you in, and then it keeps you safe. And Jesus is putting all of that imagery into this statement of, I am the door. Not only is He the way in, but He's the way that keeps His church safe. He is the way that keeps His church protected. God has provided that door. And yes, brothers and sisters, we are not ashamed to say there is only one door. Don't try another one. Don't try the door of good works. It's not how you get to God. Don't try the door of other religions. And they're all out there advertising with neon signs, come this way. No, brothers and sisters, Christ alone and Jesus alone is that door. And He's the perfect door. He fits His house. He fits His sheepfold. And He opens the way between God and us. He is the door for all time. The great I Am. From before the world began, through all the ages past, and up to this very present moment, Jesus Christ is that door. He is not old-fashioned. He's current and relevant and important and necessary. I mean, think about it. What are doors for? They're not just for looking at. And yet you can find whole books of art. I saw in one bookstore in the photography section of the artsy section, there was a whole door, a whole book of doors. Just photographs of doors. That's wonderful, but that's not what they're for, are they? In fact, doors are not for standing on the outside of. Doors are meant for something, for you to enter. For you to go out of. For you to pass through. That's what they're meant for. He says in verse 9, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And you will go in and go out and find pasture. Those are wonderful things. That's what the door's for. For you to go in. For you to get access to God. For you to be hidden behind in the presence of God. to you, for you to be protected from the elements, for you to find fellowship with all others who have gone in by that door. For you to go out once you've come in, by the way. That's not the end of it. See, the world would love for us to just stay behind our door. That's what the world really wants. They want you and I to have our Christian thing behind these closed doors. They don't care what we do in here. But Jesus says, no, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and go out. Paul says, exercise your godliness. Not, I can't even think of the word, when you sit down and your muscles atrophy. He doesn't want us to atrophy. He wants us to exercise. He wants us to take that gospel message outside this door. By the way, inviting others to come in. That's what part of going out is all about. Tell others what we find behind this door. And what have we found? We found pasture. Your spiritual food. It is quite an amazing thing that sheep are one of the only animals that conceivably could starve to death if their shepherd didn't lead them to pasture. I thought that was an astonishing thought, and then did some reading and research, and it seems to be true that sheep could conceivably starve if they weren't fed or led. Brothers and sisters, what kind of an implication does that have for us? We're the sheep of His pasture. And He's the great shepherd who leads us to our spiritual food through Christ, through our growth in Christ. The entrance into the sheepfold through Christ is how we prosper. And brothers and sisters, you don't have to sneak into it. You don't have to climb over it. If you're a sheep, Christ is the door, and He'll let you in. He has left the light on for you. And He welcomes you into the sheepfold. Brothers and sisters, faith in Christ alone. That is the picture Jesus is painting with this illustration. The door is always open, but it's only that one door. Anybody who knocks on that door, He will open it. But there is no other door. There is no other way. The great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ, is the door to abundance, to real prosperity, to life everlasting, to peace with God and forgiveness from your sin. Jesus Christ alone is that door. And in our modern age, brothers and sisters, in our day and age, that message all by itself is anathema. For any modern 21st century thinking person to say salvation is found in none other than Jesus, they'll do with us what the Pharisees did with the blind man. They'll say, get out. You're crazy. You're intolerant. You're unacceptable. And yet, brothers and sisters, that is exactly what Jesus is saying. He couldn't be much clearer. And yet they didn't understand it. Why? It takes the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to that truth. So we ought to have that courage as those who have been called by Him. Go and tell others about Him, because it's not you that's going to open their eyes anyway. Go and invite people to come to church with you, because it's not your invitation. It's not the way that you invite them that's going to bring them. It's only God that's going to bring them. So why not invite them anyway? Oh, but I've invited them 6 times. Okay, invite them 6 more. And leave it with God to bring them or not bring them. Because He is the door. He's the shepherd. And in fact, He's the one that's doing the calling. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. And He's going to bring in every single one of His sheep. Not going to leave one behind. And He might just be using you as the instrument of bringing His sheep in. So take courage and go ahead and do that work. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that Jesus is, in fact, that great revelator who has opened the eyes and taught the truth and demonstrated the power of his person and work. Thank you that he did it in our own lives, that we're not what we used to be. We may not yet be what we ought to be. But Father, we thank you that we're on the way, we're in the way, we're part of the way, who is Jesus Christ himself. O Lord, strengthen our faith. Renew in us a right spirit and create in us a clean heart that we may lead others to the great door that we have come into your presence by. O Father, we thank you for the life that you have given us in Jesus. We pray that we would improve it through faithfulness, through the word of God and the means of grace that you have provided your church. O Lord, let us see your kingdom expanding as more and others come through the door of Jesus Christ. Receive our praise and our thanks for his sake. And the people of God said, Amen.